top of the 8 o'clock hour, WIP Morning Show with Ross Tucker, because it is a Ross Tucker Wednesday, inching closer to conference championship weekend. Eagles 49ers from the link at 3 o'clock right here on WIP. But Ross, you know, earlier when you first joined us, I mentioned this and we'd never circled back to it. So it's, of course, a prize wheel Wednesday as well. And so many Eagles fans they had their laptop set up, they had their phone, they had a tablet, simultaneously trying to get into the queue to purchase tickets for the championship game on Sunday. Roughly 2,000 were able to get through and purchase tickets. The rest were, you know, it was an impossible ticket to get at a reasonable price. So with that in mind, Ross, we made it our prize wheel topic. What is something, an event, could be in sports, could be a concert, could be a moment in history, that if you could purchase tickets to watch, what would it be? Ross, do you have something?
I do. I have two that come to mind. Let me just say this first of all about the ticket thing. You know, because wasn't there a disaster for people trying to get Taylor Swift tickets?
Oh, yeah, they're still fighting over it. I think it's reached Congress.
Yeah.
So what, you know, what I've heard about this, which is nuts, is that there are, like, customer service centers, perhaps internationally, that when something like this becomes available, they go crazy. Like, they're all calling and online, all those things, to get the tickets for scalpers to scalp the tickets on the secondary market.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get the tickets. Were the tickets, like, for face value?
If you purchased them through the Eagles, yeah, they were face value.
Right, so you get them for face value, and then you can sell them for, because I saw, like, didn't John Clark tweet that it's, like, the most expensive championship game ticket or
Correct.
Something like yes. that?
Yeah.
So it's wild that this is, like, the way it is, that anybody, that there was no restrictions in terms of where your zip code was or where your phone number was,
Not
right?
that we're aware of, no.
Well, I know there wasn't for Taylor Swift, right? Because people can get the tickets from wherever. So there are places where they have, like, hundreds of people in a customer service center, and they say to them, like, hey, for the next hour, starting at 2 o'clock, we're not taking calls. We're all just getting Eagles Niners tickets. And they just call and call, and they're on every device, and it's just wild because they make so much money off of that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a 500% return. You buy them for $200, you sell them for whatever. It's bananas. So anyway, they gotta fix that somehow.
I agree.
And by the way, you know you don't even have to pay taxes on that.
When you purchase them on the secondary market,
when
you're making the profit off them,
right? Like the scalpers, they don't pay taxes. Like what they should do is you should have to have like a social security number, so that they know you're in the United States, first of all. And then second of all, you should have to pay taxes
Ross
on it.
Ross is going to fix Ticketmaster.
Well, I'm just saying, if you have to pay taxes on it, right, people, it wouldn't be as incentivized for the scalpers.
All right, so Ross, what's that event that you would go to?
I have two that came to mind immediately. And one is really interesting because it's outside of my favorite sport wheelhouse. But 1980, U.S. beating Russia in the Olympics hockey.
Yeah, Lake Placid, yeah.
I just, knowing what those years were like, I mean, that's before Rocky IV, which ended the Cold War, when Rocky was able to beat Drago.
I like that he ended
the Cold
that, yeah.
War. But I can't even imagine what that was like. Just knowing what things were like between the United States and Russia back then. Like, to be in that, to be in Lake Placid when that happened, can you even imagine?
No, it must have been, like,
unbelievable. Plus, it was 1980, like, yeah. anything goes. Like, that would have been.
Oh, it must have been one hell of a party.
Oh, can you imagine?
Yes.
Just incredible. So that's one. And then the other one is probably my favorite sporting event memory of my life as a fan. And that was the 1987 Fiesta Bowl, when Penn State beat Miami for the national championship.
Was that Jerome Brown?
It was Jerome Brown and Vinny Testaverde.
Yep, Vinny Testaverde.
Penn State didn't even have that many great players, and they beat them, and it was just... So I grew up diehard Eagles, diehard Penn State, but the Eagles never had a moment like that when I was a fan, right? Like, I was too young for 1980, and then by the time the Eagles were really good in the 2000s, I was like playing against them, you know?
Yeah, so
I never had that moment. Like, I never had them. In fact, I think I saw the Eagles when I was a fan. I think they won like one playoff game.
All right, so you're not
bananas,
don't go on Sunday.
Ross, if I had a chance to purchase a ticket, let me be witness to Ross Tucker hitting that three-pointer at Wyomissing High School not all that long ago. That's a must-attend event.
Well, if I could go back to the Holy Name game, we actually would win the game, maybe. Yeah.
Didn't happen.
I mean, 33 points, 16 rebounds, we still lose in triple overtime. It's okay. Woo! I'm over it.
That's a hell of a game.
I don't think about it every day.
No, never. I want to bring up an overtime game to you that the 49ers played in January 1st. It was their game against the Raiders. You know, that wild, crazy game.
Yeah.
San Francisco won 37-34. I believe it was Purdy's fourth game that he played. But I'm looking at it from, you know, everybody, all we hear is, oh my God, this Niners defense, it's just impossible. Well, the Raiders with Stidham put up, you know, 34 points, combined rushing, 135 yards rushing. Devontae Adams, 153 yards catching, two touchdowns. Mac Hollins had three catches for 40 yards. So I'm just wondering, like, if there's anything you could take from that as the Eagles to go, they're not like this unbelievable, impossible to score on defense.
They're not.
Yeah.
They're not. I mean, they have a good defense. They're not the 85 Bears.
Okay.
Okay. They're not the 91 Eagles.
Yeah.
Like they're not that great. They have the best defense in the NFL this year. They're right there with the Eagles. You look at every stat, it's Eagles or Niners. But like, I think even we would say, as good as the Eagles defense is, I don't know that anybody would argue like the Eagles have some like all time great defense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they have a really good defense.
It's why I fight with people about Gannon all the time.
Right. They're so, not like some like, I don't feel like 20 years from now, people are going to be saying,
oh my God,
man, that 2022 Eagles defense. It's not like the 85 Bears or the 2000 Ravens or they have a good defense. And so do the Niners. Yeah. But they're not like light. I mean, Stidham threw for 365.
I know.
Part of that is what I was saying earlier, which is I just don't think their secondary is that great. I don't think their corners are that great. I think they can be had. They're very good against the run. They have the best linebackers in the NFL. So what happens is their linebackers take away the easy underneath throws. Their pass rush gets there with Bosa. But if you can throw it against their corners or against their secondary down the field, you can have some success.
Ross, as much as maybe the Eagles coaching staff is looking at that Raiders game a little bit, if you're the 49ers, do you look at that Commanders game that the Eagles lost and use some of that as a blueprint?
Yes, 1,000%. That and, to a lesser extent, the Saints game. Yes. I think if you're Kyle Shanahan, you want to possess the ball. You want to run it, get in a bunch of third and shorts, convert them. I think that is the game plan. Because I think you want to also try to keep the Eagles' offense on the sideline as much as possible.
Yeah. Tom in South Jersey's on WIP. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Good morning.
Totally psyched. Hey, I do want to throw in, I predicted the Eagles' record a long time ago, like third or fourth game of the season. I predicted they'd be 14-3 on this show. And I was mocked, by the way.
Well, I mean, Tom, you might be the only person in the entire Northeast region of the country who had them at 14-3. What made you so confident? What did you see at the time that made you go to 14?
I think it was AJ. I mean, just the passing, right? Just AJ and they were just amazing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think they're going to, and I'll make a prediction for this game.
Well, you,
and I want this one to be on tape, too. I think the Eagles win 24-14, and it's not going to be that close even.
So Wenzel can't wait to talk
to you next Wednesday.
Wait a minute. So, Tom, the 14 points San Francisco scores, the measly 14, you're kind of implying that they're kind of mercy points.
I think they score a touchdown late. I think most of the game is like 24-7.
Ross, can you envision a double-digit victory by the Eagles in this game?
Yes, I can, yeah.
Oh.
If the Eagles jump out to a lead, I think the Niners are in trouble. I mean, because then the place will just be going bonkers. Then if they have to get away from running the ball and play action and they have to go to a straight drop back game. So there's no scenario in my mind where the 49ers blow out the Eagles, there is a scenario where the game gets away from the 49ers because they fall behind, and they are really, really not built to come from behind in any aspect.
Is Shanahan? Is that the way he cut? Because he does strike me as timid sometimes.
I don't think it's timid. I think it's they put so much into the run game, the play action, the bootlegs, that they actually put a premium, I would say, Rhea, on run-blocking offensive linemen as opposed to pass-blocking. And so you get in third and long.
They're not built for it.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, McGlinchey's a Philly kid. I love him. But he's not a great one-on-one pass pro. Trent Williams at left tackle is a different story. He's a different animal. But the inside guys are not great. They're just kind of guys. And they just can't hold up. I mean, they rotate right guards. They're just not. And Purdy, that's not what he does best. Purdy's best when he's play action, bootleg. He's not a guy. This is not like a Mahomes or a Josh Allen or a guy that can just sit there in the pocket and slice and dice you.
Tom, give us an event in history you'd like to purchase tickets to see.
Yeah, you're probably going to laugh, but I wouldn't pick something recent. I was always fascinated when the Romans flooded the Colosseum and they had the sea battles. I would go back to see one of them.
See a Colosseum battle. That'd be really cool.
I did not have that on my bingo list.
I knew that was coming.
That actually would be awesome.
Keith Jones autograph card.
That would be awesome.
Ross, what you said resonated with me just a moment ago when you're speaking of you can see an Eagles double-digit victory if they get out big early. You'll laugh at this. The Eagles not winning the coin toss against the Giants was where they won the game because the Giants then deferred, giving the Eagles the ball first, and they set the tone for the entire game. Is the coin toss going to be that important for this Sunday's game?
Well, first of all, as usual, John, that's a leading question with a false premise by you. You are unbelievable. John, are you married?
Yes.
Your wife must hate you.
What? Because the hell is this?
Any argument you get with her, you ask leading questions with a false premise. So you're asking me to answer a question based on you sliding in there that the Eagles beat the Giants because they got the ball first. Guess what? The Eagles would have bashed the Giants' brains in no matter who got the ball first. Do I think it helped that they got the ball first and went down for a touchdown? Yes, I do. But you made it sound like we're watching a movie where you have to get this magical key at the end, and the key is the Eagles getting the ball first. And
absolutely. I think John's completely right.
Now, hold on there.
Hold on a second. Rhea, if the Giants got the ball first.
No, they were going to crush them anyway.
No, they were going to crush. But in terms of, all right, well.
But that was how two bad teams beat the Eagles this year.
Yes,
by just, you know, taking it and kind of suck. My biggest fear last week, and now I said all week long, I wasn't the one who was afraid of the Giants. My fear was that the Giants would go on one of those long drives and take the energy out. That's the biggest thing outside of the obvious talent the Eagles have is that crowd.
Right. And Ross, you mentioned earlier how the whole soft zone and then feel it out from there, that would lead to the Eagles deferring, Niners get the ball first, and a lot of quick slants and a long sustained drive.
Well, the Eagles are going to defer. I mean, when's the last time they didn't defer? That would absolutely shock me.
We did actually Nick Sirianni about it when he was on with us on Monday. And he kind of just was like, well, you know, we don't always do it. But, you know, I was like, yeah, he's deferring.
Well, it just, I mean, they look at everything as a competitive advantage. Yeah. And so they don't want to give away that they would do that. But that would really surprise me. I mean, there's a reason why they defer all the time. There's a reason why almost every team defers as much as they do. The bottom line is, if the Niners get the ball on the first drive, the Eagles can't let them march, right?
Yeah.
I mean, either way.
pretty simple.
I do think what you said, Rhea, about taking the crowd out of the game, I think, and the energy, I think it's a very real thing.
Yeah.
And I just experienced that again Sunday.
Oh, with the Bills.
The Bills fans were so rocking, so ready to go. The Bengals, first two drives, ding, ding, dong, bing, 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 touchdowns. And those people, it totally took the life out of those people in Buffalo.
Well, Ross, I'll accept your apology at any point. 215-592-9494. More with Ross Tucker coming up. It's 818.